Welcome to the Soul Food Priest podcast. It's great to have you. Where the culinary and Christianity collide, and I'm here with Sylvia Vega and Kira Roddy. How are you guys doing?
Surviving one day at a time, one step at a time. We're making it.
I am so happy today. Yeah. I don't know if you guys remember, but I promised you guys that I was going to make Kira try tongue tacos.
That was really awesome.
I had Father Ben and Kira and staff members try the tacos today, and they loved them.
No, listen, they were fantastic. They were really good when you hold your nose and throw it all back at once. And noticed that when you dim the lights, it looks better.
Perfect.
Which is really awesome.
I was very surprised. Yeah. You came in very scared, Kira, I got to say.
I did.
Your face. And we got a picture of it so we can show everybody. So you guys got to go to the Facebook and look at the pictures. But I'm happy.
No, seriously, they were fantastic. And that God bless that little cow for donating his tongue. Which, by the way, you may know this, but you can go to Walmart and buy 30 cow tongues in one package. So every time I'm in there and I see this, I'm like, that's 30 cow's tongues, man.
I've never gone to that part of Walmart.
Yeah, yeah.
I've been to lots of different parts of Walmart.
Oh, yeah,
not that one.
Yep.
Cow tongue is my favorite type of taco. And that, you know, we're talking today about street food. And many of you guys know that that are listening, you probably know, like a lot of people think that the best chefs in the world are those that have these fancy restaurants and 3-star Michelin restaurants. And they're amazing. But really, in my opinion, the best cooks and chefs in the world are street cooks. You know, the people that cook on the street, and they'll make, you know, like in Mexico, for instance, we're talking about the different types of tacos. They have tacos de canasta.
Oh, yes.
Have you ever heard of this,
no.
Kira? So it's like basket tacos. So they will make these tacos, and they sell them in baskets on motorcycles and then also on bicycles.
Very economical. So the everyday person in Mexico, they're affordable for everybody. So
they have barbacoa. They have, is that the one where they actually line, like they dig a pit?
Yes, the birria or barbacoa, it's known different. They dig a hole in the ground and they cook it overnight, kind of how we did the cow tongue at home. Yeah. But they dig and they line it with like
maguey, right?
Maguey, and then
is what they make tequila from.
Yes. Maguey leaves.
Mm-hmm. Leaves.
And then, yes.
Okay.
Well, the little thing. I don't know what they're called, leaves. You know, I'm the one that probably is like the least Mexican person of the Mexican people, but I still kind of know a little bit. So then they put like this pot under the meat. So while it's cooking, all the stew happens. Mm. So then when they pull the meat, there's also a stew at the bottom.
The pot liquor.
So then they close it up and then they put more.
And then they seal it with mud.
They seal
it. And then they cook it overnight.
Yep.
And I mean, it's
charcoal or
incredible.
Wood or whatever it is that
it
they
is
use.
So good because the flavor of the maguey goes into the meat.
Yes.
And it is so good. And then they have my personal favorite, tacos al pastor. So if you're not familiar, those of you listening, if you're not familiar with tacos al pastor, it looks like gyros.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like in Greek food. And so they have like a spit and they shave it off the spit. It is so good. I've got water in my mouth right now thinking about it.
Yeah, those are made of lamb, correct? The al pastor is made of pork.
Pork.
Yes.
And they soak the pork in piña or pineapple with lots of spices. Exquisite.
Oh, next on the list.
It is. And where I live, there is a guy at our parish who has a food truck and sells these. I know.
Oh, really?
Because I've seen just the huge rack of meat just hanging there and he just shaves
it
off.
He's shaving it off.
And I haven't heard.
They call it a trampo, which is the spit. And next time, bring us some.
Okay. I'll bring those.
I love it because like in Mexico, they've got this. And in every part of the world, they have these amazing street cooks. And you know, in Nigeria, they eat what's called fufu and moi moi. So fufu or moi moi, is like ground beans that they poach. But fufu is really, it's almost like a bread dough.
Okay.
They can eat with like pounded yams or rice. Mm-hmm. In Thailand, they eat pad thai. Have you guys ever had pad thai?
I've heard of it.
So imagine a stir fry with noodles, eggs, shrimp, shrimp paste. Really exquisite.
Good.
Have you ever heard of arepas?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, from Colombia.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Or pupusas. Mm-hmm. I know you've had pupusas.
Yeah.
So if you're not familiar with pupusas in El Salvador, they make, it's almost like a hot pocket. So they will fry it on both sides and then sell it in the street. Okay, mm-hmm. this is totally an American, like, yes. destruction mm-hmm. phrase. You know, a hot pocket, you know. But
I mean, if you had to call it anything, you know, it's kind of like a stuffed tortilla because it's made of corn. So it is correct. No, some of them are made masa. Some of them, the gorditas are made of corn. Yeah. I'm sorry, and the other ones are like more bread and flour.
Yeah, and they There's do different make blue kinds. Corn kind.
Yes, and then they stuff it either with cheese or beans.
Sausage.
Oh my goodness.
It is so good.
Papas with chorizo, potatoes.
Have you had
and
that?
Sausage.
I have. Now that I think about it, I have.
Yeah, they sometimes serve it with like coleslaw on top of it.
Like a hot salsa.
But
on the
sometimes
side.
Not. It kind of depends on.
I'm sure you've had
no,
it.
No. What I was thinking of was what you talked about right before that.
Arepas?
Yes.
Oh, the arepas.
And,
yeah.
and with the cactus in it?
Yeah.
Oh, those are gorditas. Those are gorditas.
So they have nopales.
Nopales, the cactus.
Yeah.
Nopales
is the cactus.
They're all so good.
Yeah.
Cactus surprised me. It's like a green bean converges with an okra.
Yeah, no, and it's kind of lemony. It's uh-huh. kind of lemony.
Yeah.
Well, and I mean, I have a theory that the best cooks in the whole world is everybody's grandmothers.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right? And then street cooks. Because street mm-hmm. cooks are cooking in the middle of traffic and bad weather and yelling people because they're on their way to work, and they keep doing it.
Yep.
I mean, and gosh, it's amazing. There's this woman in Thailand, and she is incredible because she's, I forgot her name, but she's like 80 years old and she got a Michelin star. She's the only
what?
Street cook in the world. And this woman is 80 years old. She works 7 days a week.
Thailand?
In
said?
Thailand. Okay. And in fact, like, Martha Stewart said that that was her favorite place to cook, to
wow.
eat.
Wow.
And so Aww. She has this street vendor cook thing. And it is like exquisite. She's 80 years old. She cooks 7 days a week.
Wow.
And she got a Michelin star.
Wow.
So she's the only street cook in the world that got a Michelin star. And, but I love this because, you know, people as they're walking down the street, they smell this. And I mention all this today because I think it's a poor analogy, but, you know, for street cooks, they're often, they try to give something to someone as they're walking down the street, right? Mm-hmm. In France, eat pommes frites or french mm-hmm. fries. And, you know, so in other words, they're trying to kind of in the nitty gritty of people's lives. And parish priests are kind of in the nitty gritty of people's lives too, right? Mm-hmm. I always call it the spirituality of dirt because, mm-hmm. like, in my opinion, parish priests, what kind of makes them unique is you're dealing with a lot of mess, frankly, you know,
yep.
and not only other people's mess, but your own, because we're human too. And Pope John Paul II used to say that the people will become for the priest a second seminary.
Mm-hmm.
So the first seminary forms them into what they can do, namely celebrate the sacraments, hopefully have some theological pastoral formation. It's the people that actually form him into the priest he should become.
Mm.
If he's smart enough to listen, which is not always the case, right?
Yeah.
As history has shown. And, but it kind of raises a question, doesn't it? Like, what's the deal with celibacy? Like, and because, yeah. you know, like, even Catholics don't, I mean, I'm being general when I say this, right? But even Catholics don't really understand it. I mean, if you say, can your priest get married? Like, no. And if you say, well, why not? They're like, mm-hmm. I don't know, man. It's a Catholic thing. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like asking them, why you genuflect before you go in the pew? I don't know, man. It's a Catholic thing. You know, you do this cross after the gospel on your forehead and your mouth and your heart. I don't know. But like, what is the deal with mm-hmm. celibacy? And for that matter, why can't women be priests?
Mm-hmm.
If we ask most Catholics, can women be priests in the Catholic Church, they'll say no. But if you say, well, why? They don't really know. Mm-hmm. I mean, they don't really know. And so it's kind of worth kind of digging into.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Agree.
Yeah. Yeah. Because in our culture, this is completely countercultural. These two things are very countercultural. But I guess kind of sometimes even with street food, you know, you might go past the taco truck, and in our culture, we might go, well, is that legit? Am I going to get food poisoning? We're right. questioning it, you know, is yeah. that authentic? Mm-hmm. Is it safe to eat that? You know, I don't know, yeah. all of that kind of stuff without, you know, just kind of mm-hmm. trying it out and,
yeah,
you know, being opened up to new varieties of food and cultures and, you know, all of that. You know, we could probably say that about the about yeah. the priesthood and digging yeah. into these questions and seeing what goodness and richness is actually there.
For
That's
me,
a good point.
Yeah, for me, being a cradle Catholic, it was always a... that's the rule mm-hmm. and we're Catholic and that's what it is. Mm-hmm. So you didn't question it. That was the rule. Mm-hmm. And it was like, you get baptized, you go to first communion, confirmation, and priests don't get married. So it was like, I had never questioned it, but I've, you know, there's always going to be that one person that comes up to you and questions it. And it's good to know the answer for yourself. And in case somebody asks you, mm-hmm. you are informed and you can inform others of your mm-hmm. faith or their own faith.
No, that's an awesome point.
So, Father, why? Why do priests take the vow of celibacy?
Yeah, I mean, and there's a lot I could say there, but I think it's even in the Old Testament, the New Testament, of course, Jesus himself was celibate. Mm-hmm. And celibacy is a long, long, long lineage going back even to the Old Testament. I mean, even the Old Testament. And Jesus in Matthew's gospel talks a lot about celibacy. John Paul picks this up in the Theology of the Body on everyone who gives up house and wife and family will receive 100 times more in the life to come, and what he calls eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And so, in other words, we're not giving up something bad, nor are we repressing one's sexuality. We're giving up a good for a greater good, because mm-hmm. in heaven, of course, there is no sexual activity.
Yeah.
And so what we're embracing now, how we will all be in the life to come. Mm-hmm. And so there is that. And of course, when we also believe that kind of following Ephesians chapter 5, we believe the priest, kind of our wife, so to speak, is the church, the yes. church being a feminine model. But I think it's really worth pointing out, you know, King David in the Old Testament, certainly Jeremiah, but King David had all of his soldiers abstain from sexual activity before they went into battle. Mm-hmm. In other words, there's always been this kind of spiritual strength and spiritual renunciation associated with celibacy.
Don't boxers do the same thing before a fight? Like,
kind of makes sense.
Yeah, I think I've heard that too. Like, where you're in training and before they go to the big fight, like all the UFC fighters and the boxers. Mm. Sorry, I grew up watching yeah. the fights. I think they do the same thing. Yeah.
That kind of makes sense. I mean, I do think that I would say I can only speak for one priest in this church, but I think for me, I love it. Mm-hmm. I love it. And I'll be honest, I've never even remotely second guessed
yeah.
my vocation or the vocation to celibacy. I love celibacy, mm-hmm. even from a young age. I mean, I dated, but I always knew in my heart that I was never called to marriage. And I just knew that this is kind of what God was calling me to. I mean, and so it really is a beautiful vocation. It's one of the reasons why priests wear black. It represents that we have died to ourselves, and we now live for really kind of our wife, mm-hmm. the church, right? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So on that note, why only men priests?
Yeah, so Jesus only chose men to be priests and to be the apostles, of course, bishops. And in 1994, Pope John Paul II, in this document called Ordinatio Sacerdotalis, he said, and I'm quoting here, he said that, "Wherefore all doubt may be removed, I therefore declare that the church has, quote, no authority whatsoever to confer priestly ordination on women." Mm. In other words, and one of the things that Pope Benedict XVI has said, he said, it's not that we're deciding not to, it's that we don't have the power to.
Wow.
So it's...
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and so in other words, it's not like, hey, you know, one day we'll get a pope who will green light this thing. Mm-hmm. Even Pope Francis has said on multiple occasions, we couldn't change this if we wanted to. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, sadly, a lot of even people in high places in the Catholic Church fail to understand this.
Yeah.
And I mean, the doctrine on this is crystal clear. And but one of the things I think is always worth, very important to point out is men and women are equal. It's kind of like, you know, one of the challenges that we see with feminism today and secular feminists is there's three things that they tend to do. They tend to attack masculinity. They tend to erase sexual differences in order to promote egalitarianism. In other words, in order to make men and women equal, we're going to erase everything that makes them different. Mm-hmm. So then we have what we call androgyny, mm-hmm. right? And they one of the biggest mistakes, kind of the Achilles heel of many modern day feminists, is they tend to associate equality with doing the same thing.
Yeah.
So in other words, function. So in other words, I am equal only to a man if I can do what a man does, mm-hmm. which is, I mean, let's turn that upside down. That means I'm only equal to a mom if I can be a mom, and I would be a really bad mother. Okay. Like, let me just point out the obvious, man. I'd be a really bad mom, but doesn't mean I'm any less than a mom.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Right? We're still equal, but we're different. Mm-hmm. And so, like, if the priesthood were only a matter of function, then, of course, it would be one of those things where a woman could do it as well. However, in Catholicism, we believe that the masculinity, even though men and women are equal, the masculinity is vital. You can't remove it for the priesthood in the Catholic Church. And so we would say it's not just a matter of function. It's actually a matter. It's a big word. Nobody get freaked out. It's called ontology, or the philosophy of being, the study mm-hmm. of being. In other words, in the being of the male is part of it. And people say, well, I don't understand that. I'm like, hey, man, talk to Jesus. All right. Awesome. You know, as John Paul II used to say, you need to take it up with the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And so, and there's a lot we don't understand about the priesthood, even mm-hmm. even after over 2,000 years of it. Mm-hmm. So those are kind of the Achilles heel of kind of modern day feminist approach, is we would say we're equal but very different. And St. Edith Stein, for instance, who died at Auschwitz, she used to underscore this point many, many times.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think, I mean, I see what the priests around, you know, the diocese and from other places, especially you, Father. I mean, you guys are busy bees. And me as a mom and having to take care of my family, plus being, if I would be a priest, I mean, how do you get that done? So it makes sense to me that these rules aren't just made or given to us because that's the rule and that's mm-hmm. it. They make sense. Yeah. You know, it's not just because this is what it is and that's it. It makes sense. There's no way that you can take up your cross and follow him with a bunch of little crosses hanging and pulling and snagging and getting tangled and other things. It would be hard. So it's completely understandable.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not in any way, you know, lifting myself up or anything. I can just say for me, I probably work somewhere between 60 to 65 hours a week.
Yeah, I believe.
And so there's no way I could have a family. And even if they came out today and said, hey, go get married, I mean, I'll be honest, I don't know any priest that would. And it's not because marriage yeah. is not beautiful, but number one, it's just not our vocation. It's exactly. not what we're called to. But number two, I would be bad, you know, to have a spouse, because honestly, I'd never see him. It's the same reason why mm-hmm. it's very mm-hmm. difficult for a lot of priests to have pets. I mean, mm-hmm. And so some do, some don't. I don't, because I'm never home. It wouldn't be fair to that. And not that I'm comparing the two, but point being is that each one of yeah. us requires love.
Exactly.
Right? Mm-hmm. It requires time and attention. So, yeah, it's a beautiful vocation, but there's still much that people don't really understand, including priests, about the priesthood.
Yeah.
I was hearing a talk recently where, you know, a lot of people say, either to men or to women, you know, pray about your vocation. And they're like, oh, great, I'm going to pray to be a priest, and then the Lord's going to make me a priest, and it's not going to be what I really, really want. But to that, you know, it's, if God is calling you to it, that's where your happiness can be found. And I think you're such a great witness of that. And what you're saying is like, I love this. I embrace this, you know, so following God's calling is not going to lead to misery, which is what, again, very countercultural to give up, you know, to be celibate and to do that. It's like, can you survive? Can you actually live like that and still be happy? So
yeah,
what's the answer to that?
No, it's an awesome question. I was given a talk, I was given a youth talk maybe 10 years ago. And I started off and I just said, I just want to make it very clear, guys, you're not going to die from a lack of sex.
That's an awesome way to say it.
And this one...
Straight to the point.
And this one kid was like, oh, thanks be to God. Right? And so, like, you know, it really is... I mean, you know, sexual sharing and the bonds of marriage is so beautiful, and it's such an awesome... I mean, we believe that there's really three forms of intimacy, right? There's spiritual intimacy, emotional intimacy, and then... physical intimacy. And when the first two are in place, the third tends to blossom into how God designed it. But of course, we live in a culture that reverses those two and those, those, and they wonder why they have problems. But for us, I mean, we have many intimate relationships. Like, I always tell people, look, you can have sex with no intimacy and intimacy with no sex.
100% agree.
I mean, I have many intimate relationships, but I'm not sexually active with anybody. And I know people that are sexually active only with their spouse, but there's no real intimacy based on, you know, because when one does marriage counseling, you see this. So, in other words, it's just mechanical. There's no depth to it, and as John Paul talks about so often, and not just John Paul, our church, St. Augustine. And so that's kind of what we're trying to do, is we're trying to go deeper and deeper and deeper into the mystery. And I'll be honest, as a priest ages, as we age, if a guy has his prayer life together, and I believe if a guy has close relationship with his bishop and with the people of God, it's going to go deeper and more beautiful.
Yes.
I mean, during the COVID time, it was the people of God that got me through that.
Yeah.
I mean, they helped me so much. And my prayer life, to be sure. But, I mean, I had such a deep connection to the people of God. And they were really a spouse to me. They really were.
I mean, and I've seen, thankfully, and I'm very thankful to God for this, we have, you know, I'm sure you as well, Kira, we have many friends that are priest. And just recently, my friend gave back was ordained priest. And just his face while he was being ordained, the tears coming down from his eyes, he was getting married to the church. He was receiving Jesus in a different way for the first time. And it was just happiness. So of course, you can be eternally happy and not eat anything else in the vocation of priesthood. I've seen it. I've been witness of it. And I've seen friends of mine just be, you know, filled with joy within the difficulty also of being a priest, but they love it because it's their vocation. When you're a mother, yes, it's difficult. That's your vocation, but you love it. And that's what you were born to be. And I'm sure that even though, you know, God has vocations, I'm sure that when Father Ben was born, Jesus knew that your vocation was going to be a priest. And we're all happy you said yes. But, you know, I think it's very important, Kira, that, you know, the future of our church is the continuation of priests. So it's it's important for us mothers and fathers especially to let our kids know, especially our boys, that it's okay to think about priesthood in the future, even though you have that crush on that girl in middle school. I've had the conversation with my son, and he's like, but what do you mean I can't get married if I'm a priest? But I really do like girls. And I'm like, that doesn't matter. You can still like girls, but you just don't marry them. That shouldn't stop you. And he's like, oh, okay. So he's like, I'm not taking that, you know, off the list. So it's important for us as parents to keep, you know, that on the list for our children for their future, not just let's be a doctor, let's be a lawyer. Put priesthood on the list for your kids.
Definitely. Yeah, I had my ex-girlfriend, she told me I was going to be a priest, and I was like, wow, that's romantic, honey, thanks. Yeah. And then when they finally ordained me, I thought, my Lord, I knew they needed priests. I didn't know it was that bad. Wow, I mean, they're scraping the bottom of the barrel, man.
That's awesome.
So, but God,
thank you, girl, whoever you were.
It's like Jackie our friend Jackie, three of her, you know, they always say Pope John Paul II was the greatest vocation director that mm-hmm. ever lived, but three of her ex-boyfriends became priests. So she said, no, I was the greatest vocation director that ever lived.
Really? Three of them?
Three of them became
wow.
priests. Yeah.
Oh, man. Okay. Yeah. She needs a medal.
She had good taste. I mean,
that's awesome.
So I ate street tacos today. Or not street tacos, but the cow tongue
tacos. Yes.
We were very proud of you. I was waiting for the gag reflex.
And there was none. Yeah. It was so good. Y'all, if you actually looked at this, you would think you had cube steaks in front of you. And it was really good. Not fatty or anything. Yeah, some little tequila helped. Wasn't gamey. It was really, really good. Thank you, Sylvia. My horizons
welcome.
Have been broadened.
Yes, I'm
this
happy.
This is what they call an educated palate.
Yes. Oh, there we go.
And so she even asked to leave some for seconds for later on.
That's going
to
be my dinner tonight.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Awesome. So that was just... Now, I mention that because now my horizons have been broadened. I actually... I was like questioning cow tongue. I don't know. And I could have said no and been completely ignorant to it, or I could have just dug in and just, then explored something new and something beautiful. So with that said, and relating it to celibacy and the priesthood and all of that, what are like, if people want to learn more about the beauty of celibacy, because it also applies to women, the religious, the Blessed Mother, you know, all of that. What are some books or documents that people can read where you can learn about the beauty of celibacy, or even why can't women become priests? What are some resources there so that hopefully people will be brave enough to explore these instead of saying no to it and you know, not dig into the beauty that's there.
Right. And I'm going to be honest with you. I think one of the things that kind of rubs me the wrong way is when certain teachers and priests assume that the people of God can't digest more theologically challenging things. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a little condescending, to be honest with you, because I think, you know, people can easily access these documents. I mean, some of them are a little bit more challenging than others, but a lot of them is super chill. Like, what I mean is it's very... easy reading. You know, honestly, like one of my favorites is it's called On the Collaboration of Men and Women in the World, and it came out in May 31st of 2004, I think it was, and that was Cardinal Ratzinger. It is a quick read, but it talks about kind of the flaws of a lot of modern day feminists, and also the beauty of masculinity, femininity, and also how God designed us, both our bodies and spiritually. And it is like super easy, and he relates it, for instance, to the Song of Songs. And it's beautiful. I mean, and like when I mean, seriously, a sixth grader could understand this. And so that's a great little document on the collaboration of men and women in the world. And, of course, Scott Hahn's got some great stuff, too. But there really is, there's a lot more that has come out as of late. Abigail Favali's new book, The Genesis of Gender. And she's going to be on our show here pretty quick.
Yep. She is.
So excited. Yeah.
We're going to be interviewing her. So if you're also kind of, you've used the word feminism and feminist, and you're like, oh... You know, that's kind of a touchy topic there. She will actually be here, and that's going to be part of our discussion.
It's going to be awesome.
And it's just, and she's, amazing. So
we're
going to
have
excited.
Her for two shows, I think.
Yes, we are. Yes, and that will be in October.
Great.
Yes. And Dr. Christopher West, too.
Oh, yes. That's coming up soon. Yeah.
Yes. So we will be interviewing Dr. Christopher West on the theology of the body, who could also talk more about what Father Ben has just been saying on the beauty and of gift and the self, the gift of self that we can provide for each other through our vocations. So Dr. Christopher West will be talking, and we'll be interviewing him. And so that will also be coming up soon. This is just so exciting. Oh, my gosh.
So exciting.
I know. I'm pretty pumped. I'm pretty pumped. Yeah, her book is outstanding. It's really, really good, and it's a very, very accessible. Again, we're not talking high-dense theology. It's really accessible. And so it's And we always say, you know, one of the beautiful things and the challenging things in Catholicism is you can go as deep as you want to go without ever hitting the bottom. Mm-hmm. So some people get totally freaked out by some of this stuff, but I'm like, look, just take a bite of something. Right. And, you know, I always tell people, read the catechism, not like a reference book, but a prayer book.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I mean, just read a paragraph or two, you know.
Same with those documents, too.
Yeah.
It's just prayer. They're just beautiful.
And prayer. To add to that, Father, tell me if you agree. I mean, sit down and talk to a priest. Mm-hmm. Say, hey, I have questions. If I ever feel like this or these are my doubts, can you help me clear them? You mm-hmm. know, does this happen to you? I mean, I'm sure there are priests very willing to speak to anybody having doubts or questions. And you can give you answers to what you're looking for.
So funny story. There was one time where I was teaching ninth graders. And I was way in over my head, and it was the Old Testament. And so I kept, every time I saw this one particular priest in our parking lot, I would ask him questions.
Yeah.
And then I'd see him again, and I'm asking him questions.
And he's running from me the whole time.
And
saying,
so, yeah, needless to say, he was almost like, oh gosh, here she comes again. So the next time I saw him, I was like, okay, I got another question. He looked at me, he said, you do know you're going to have to read and take some classes on this, right? And I was like, but why? You have all the answers. But so I wanted to go the lazy Cliff's Notes route. Yeah. But I have to say that then taking, you know, reading the books and doing the studies transformed my life. I usually
it
say
helps.
That I'm a cradle Catholic who converted to Catholicism after that happened.
Priests call that the minute effect. Father, do you have a minute?
Yeah.
Which usually means about 4 hours,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah. So, I think I've done that to you, probably.
Oh, yeah. Now, only on
we
days
all
that
have,
end in Y.
And then he does, let me get my cigar.
Yeah. Exactly. I think you know me.
Actually, I did have. I was like, can I talk to you? He goes, I got the length of this cigar. And I'm like, all right.
Awesome.
Which that was good. Uh-huh. It's actually good. It was a visual way of seeing how much time I had.
Yeah.
Well, Father, everybody is enjoying your topics and your awesome questions to the answers we all have. If you're listening from home, remember to always check our social media, our Facebook, and our website. Again, if you are new and this is the first time listening, our Facebook to this podcast is Soul Food Priest, and you can find it at facebook.com/ Soul Food Priest. That was a tongue twister. Soul Food Priest. And also on our stmichaelmemphis.com or .org, either or, website, you'll find it at the top and you can just click the link. Keep sending your questions because we have them. We are reading them and we are getting to them. We've had topics lined up already, so we haven't gotten to them, but keep sending them. We are reading them and getting them ready to get answered.
And we have for those of you who may be interested, we are actually leading an eating tour, a food and wine tour of France, and that's going to be from April 17th to the 27th of 2023. So if you're interested in doing a food and wine tour of France, and I'm going to be there, of course, eating. I have a black belt in eating, so I will be there, and we will, of course, have mass, and visit churches and stuff like that too. But we're going to go to Lyon, which is the food capital of France. Lyon, Brittany, Strasbourg, and Normandy, the Normandy beach invasion. So that's April 17th to the 27th of 2023. And you can check that out certainly from our website.
Yes, that's on our it's also on our Facebook and our website as well.
Mm-hmm. And one that we already mentioned, we're going to have Dr. Christopher West come here. But if you are in the Memphis area, or if you're in Arkansas, or, you know, East Memphis or wherever, or not East Memphis, East Tennessee, everybody's more than welcome to join us. We will have at St. Michael's Parish in Memphis, we are going to have Christopher West here November 15th for the Made for More event. And you can check that out on our website as well at stmichaelmemphis.org.
Should be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it.
We are so excited. We are so blessed.
Gosh, it's going to be so good.
Keep listening because we have a lot of stuff coming and we have a lot of events here locally in Memphis. Just follow us, like us, and share us.
And please don't forget to put soul in your food and give food to your soul.